And it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. Jason, another week. You're back, man.
When I was gone on sabbatical, did you say, as always, joined by Jason Hayes?
Really,
or did you say, as always, with the exception of these 5 weeks?
Yeah, when you were gone, I really struggled with how to open the show. If I'm honest. I didn't know what to say.
Fair enough.
I would go, this is Andrew, and I'm joined...
I'm hanging out by this person
that's next to me.
I'm hanging out on the radio. We've got a guest.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
So, it was a struggle. Now I feel like I'm back on the bike.
Week two back for me. We are back in our rhythm. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm really good. Yeah. No complaints.
Nice. I feel like I have the flu.
Well, I wish we wouldn't have saw each other.
I know. We talked about that. We've been talking for the last 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah. And now you tell me.
And now I tell you on air that I feel like I have the flu. But it is actually not that I'm sick. It's because I went and worked out yesterday
with a buddy of mine. Stop it.
And it is that I have an ache that is so deep down. It is beyond the degree of my muscles. It is down into my bones.
Yeah.
That's how I ache. And I actually... was very clear. I was working out with a buddy that works out really, really hard. Yeah. And I was like, very clear. Listen, we're starting back here real slow with me.
Right.
And sadly, I believe he actually did start back very slow with me. And yet my body still feels as if I have the flu, and I do not have the flu. I simply just feel like I got hit by a tractor trailer.
You know, and the interesting thing about that is everybody says work out. Everybody says, you know, keep your body in shape. But when you do that and you feel this type of pain,
it feels counterproductive.
Is that not a sign that maybe?
Right.
I mean, when I'm kicked back eating fries and a burger, I don't feel that type of pain.
No,
Jason.
No, you don't. I don't feel like
when
I've got
I'm drinking
the
flu. My Sun Drop, I feel wonderful. I don't feel as if there's somebody that's
probably
kicked me in
some
the gut.
In between there, you know. I do need to get beyond. So certainly it has been a few months since I've done any type of workout, and so it's like I got to get back into it. I understand that first session.
Oh yeah,
first few days is going to be rough. Now, but speaking about that, so I used to run marathons. I think you and I have talked about that, and I used to do marathons and triathlons and all this other stuff. And the last full marathon that I did was probably 8 or 10 years ago. I basically got done at the end of the race, went home, you know, slept, refueled, and then went to the gym the next day. And basically I remember like going and just trying to kind of like stretch out and things that sort of, and I remember looking at myself in the mirror and I was like, wait a minute. I should have seen a lot better results out of this, because when you run that type of distance,
right?
I mean, one, you're consuming massive amounts of calories, and unless you're super disciplined in it. So I had actually gained a little bit of weight. I'd stripped all muscle down because it just depletes muscle mass, you know, and I've got now, you know, sore joints, and I've probably put immeasurable, you know, damage on various parts of my body. And I got done and I was like, why have I been doing this?
Yeah, why am I doing
this?
And
so truly, that was the last full marathon that I ever did. I've been telling myself that I wanted to do one in my 40s. I want to do one in my 50s.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
And then you can put those stickers on the
truck. I'm not going to do that.
The, what is it, the 26.2?
Yeah, my favorite one is the one that the people that just kind of do it despite it, and it's 0.0.
Yes, I love those.
I salute you, sir. Even as a one that can have several of those stickers on the back of my truck, I salute you.
Yeah, that's...
well done.
That's awesome. Yeah, I always love the ones that are like, I don't do any of those. That's why I'm in a vehicle today, because I'm driving and not running a marathon.
So speaking of vehicles,
and
transitioning oh so smoothly into today's subject, did you see this article about this young man who pushed his BMW into, I think, either the lake or the ocean? Did you see this by chance?
Yeah, the... you know, it makes sense. If somebody were to give you a vehicle and then you didn't want that vehicle because you wanted a nicer one, I mean, the obvious response is to push it in the water.
Into the water. Yeah. And so if you didn't see this, it was actually on several different news outlets. I think the young man was in India. Is that correct? Do you remember?
I think so.
I think that's the case. And
yes,
so,
Northern India.
Yes, in Northern India, he was gifted a BMW, a very, very nice BMW based on all accounts, the pictures that are shown, the vehicle type. I mean, this is a nice, nice car. And he got upset with his dad, who had bought him this BMW for his birthday. And he was pitching a fit because it wasn't big enough.
Not big enough.
For he and his friends,
yeah.
He had requested a Jaguar, which honestly, I don't really
not
think of a Jaguar as that much bigger.
Not that much bigger.
Right, but he requested a Jaguar.
Yeah.
And when he did not receive a Jaguar and he had to unfortunately settle for the BMW, he quite literally put the vehicle in neutral and pushed it into a local body of water.
And then when the police showed up, this is the police statement. The youth was arrogant and kept insisting.
Surely not.
Kept insisting that he be given a Jaguar as a BMW is a little small for him and his friends. And then, so the police is like, yeah, this is clearly a personal matter. The boy's father said, I wanted to give my son a birthday present. Listen to that. We could only afford to give him a BMW.
Unreal.
While he kept on insisting that he be given a Jaguar. He said the vehicle was too small, but we thought he'll be okay. He'll be okay. I love the last line of the article. We never imagined he would do anything like this. And so now my question is, do you think the son's going to get a Jaguar now? Like, is
also,
that the response?
And if he's that kid, how did you not expect this?
And you better lock me up.
This is your kid. That is
you better lock me up.
Wow.
And throw away the key. Because it's my child. Did that out of, it's one thing if they accidentally, I was just dumb dad and the car ended up in the water. I'm so sorry.
Right.
It's a whole nother thing if my boy looks at me and says, well, I didn't want it. And I told you I didn't want it.
Yes. This is not a case of in Carrie and I's earliest of days in our marriage. We lived in this quaint little neighborhood and we had this perfect little ranch style home that we loved. And we had a hill that was kind of in our front yard. And so we had a bit of a slope, to our house in the driveway. And Carrie drove Stanley the Stanza. Okay. It was a gray, Stanza. And we called it Stanley the Stanza. And one day Carrie had a very often, a pretty regular habit of leaving the car not in gear because it was a stick shift.
Okay.
Yeah. So rather than she would just leave it in neutral, you know, and turn the car off. Well, unfortunately, one day she did that and the car rolled down out of our driveway across the street, not hitting anyone or a mailbox or anything of that sort, rolling into the other neighbor's driveway, which has a slope down towards their house. And stopped in their front bushes, within 6 inches of their home. And so this is not that.
Yeah. Carrie didn't look at you and say, well, Jason, I told you.
Yeah.
I wanted. And so I rolled it down the driveway.
I wanted Vinny the Volkswagen.
That's right.
Not Stanley
Stanza.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting thing that we have. And that's what we're going to talk about today is being grateful and entitlement And so we mock and laugh at this young man. I would say boy, certainly not a man.
We should note also, this is not like do not hear us say this was in India. And so,
no.
I can't believe those folks. No, this could have happened in West Knoxville, Tennessee.
It probably has.
Yes,
it probably has happened yesterday.
Right.
And so as we look at this, this certainly says a lot about the character of that boy. But what it also says is the environment. It's already been there. This entitlement mentality, this ungrateful mentality, isn't something that just popped up on his birthday.
Nor is it isolated.
They've probably seen signs of this. and I would bet if dad and mom were honest, they probably behind the scenes were going, yeah, I kind of expected this was going to happen.
Yeah. We never expected this to happen. Look across the room.
Kind of did. And so then they're probably replaying things in their mind. Oh, you remember when we got him this?
Right.
And he acted this way, or he broke it on purpose. And now he's just taking it to the extreme with a vehicle that we purchased for him. And so how do we, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is how do we kind of set those boundaries? How do we create a grateful, home, a grateful, even in our hearts, not just with our kids, but with ourselves.
Exactly.
Like, are we grateful? Right. Do we feel entitled? Do we, when it comes to that promotion and someone else gets that promotion, do we just feel like we're entitled to it and we're going to go slash the tires? That's why whenever anybody tells me, do what makes you happy, I'm going, that's the last thing you want me to do.
Right.
Because I would slash their tires. That would make me happy.
Right.
Completely happy. Now, it's not the right thing to
Note
do.
Note to self, if my tires become slash here the next year.
Yeah, that
weeks,
would be terrible, wouldn't it?
And so
anytime you hear the mindset of do what makes you happy, to this boy, pushing that car in the water made him happy because that's going to mean I'm going to get another vehicle.
Right, and there was zero consequence to his actions. You know, there was very, I mean, in this case, I mean, I guess technically, you know, the law enforcement or wrecking service or whatever it may be can put some pretty significant bills their way, and I guess they could charge him with some type of disruptive behavior, you know, but usually behavior like this, and again, this is not isolated to 18-year-old kids or to 13-year-old children or to 6-year-old children. Speaking of 13-year-old children, tomorrow, my oldest son hits the big 1-3.
Wow,
shout
teenager.
Out to Hayden
awesome.
Christopher Hayes. I love him with everything in me, and I kind of want to cry a whole lot because
that
my oldest
old.
Is a teenager. I've been old.
Well,
I've been old.
But officially.
But
official.
It's officially, I think that's right. Yeah. So anyways, but this is not isolated to an age. I think it is there's a number of variables, and I wonder how much of it really is that for a long time, people have functioned without real consequences. Mm-hmm. Meaning we often talk, in the lives of children, we talk about these kind of, what do you got? Helicopter parents.
Right.
And then we have lawnmower parents, which means that a parent just goes ahead, clears the way, knocks down every obstacle. And so one, challenges aren't hard. And you see this playing out. In fact, I heard some guys talking on sports radio yesterday about, you know, this massive kind of influx of players going into the transfer portal. And, and even heard our own Phil Fulmer talking about, you know, back in the day, it used to be if you were the second on the depth chart, you didn't ever think about leaving because you just thought, well, I'm going to work harder to try to become the first on the depth chart. And so this culture, this kind of, a cultural phenomena is existing in the lives of children, ultimately growing up into being adults, and things have been handed to them. And then if they don't get their way or something goes bad, it is often someone else is actually going and trying to try to make things right. And so when they screw up,
I think too with that, it could be a learned behavior. I mean, even when we talk about the transfer portal, we see coaches all the time moving and bouncing and hopping to go get that better job. And so players are watching that and saying, well, why can't I do it? We'll talk more
when we come back. We'll talk back about what vehicle we would push into the lane.
So Jason, if you had to pick,
is this of our vehicles we've owned?
Okay, we can do that. Yeah, if you had to, out of all the vehicles you've had since you were 16, so as we look back over the 50 years since you were 16,
I had a sentimental moment talking about my sweet soon-to-be 13-year-old son, and you've made me as old as Bob Bell.
So if we had to look back.
Bob's from listening somewhere and now calling into the show.
Would it be the horse carriage or would it be the vehicle, the first vehicle yet? So as we look back at all the vehicles you have owned, what is the one vehicle that you're like, I would 100% push that bad boy in the water and walk away and say, I'm okay with that?
So I would say it was... I'm gonna go with A Pontiac 6000.
Okay.
LE.
Okay.
Yeah, it's important to throw that in there.
Yeah.
I don't really know what features the LE brought.
Not much.
But probably I remember saying it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it was, there could not have been physically more gray on the vehicle than there was. It was a gray exterior, gray interior, gray, seat belts, steering wheel, all gray. I mean,
yeah,
it was just
awesome.
Gray. And it was the first vehicle. So there's a sentimental value to it. I will say that it was the first vehicle my parents gave me, which I'm very grateful
right.
for. But it was as if they were basically saying, with this vehicle, we are going to ensure
yeah.
that you couldn't do anything too like
dumb
or anything too wild, because nothing wild could actually happen in
yeah.
this vehicle.
Okay. So that's the one you would push.
Probably
in
that.
The water.
Or also had a really nasty wreck in a Nissan Maxima
okay.
that was just totaled, and so I guess I could pitch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
My first vehicle was a 91 GMC Jimny with a 3-inch lift and big tires.
You were that guy!
Yeah, I would not push that bad boy
no.
in the water. That
Heaven
was an amazing
sake.
Vehicle.
In
it
fact,
had,
you probably wish you still had it.
It had tons of issues. Most of the windows wouldn't roll down. Anytime I got pulled over, not that it happened a lot, but it did happen.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I would be the guy that would have to open the door, put my hands out, and tell the cop, my window doesn't roll down. I just want you to know.
Attention!
I'm not doing anything.
Attention!
And,
I cannot roll down
and,
the window.
And I would go through drive-thrus and have to open the door. I was that guy.
That's strong.
And so I love that vehicle, but,
I sometimes do that. My windows work great, but sometimes
still
I just want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes back through the drive-thru. When I graduated, I had a 97 F-150, loved that truck as well. But after I sold that truck because I was driving far to go to – I was living in south of Nashville, 60 miles south of Nashville. So I was driving to Nashville every day, and the truck just was getting terrible gas mileage.
Mm.
And so I sold that truck, which still hurts me to this day, and I got a Mazda Tribute, which was a small SUV and I would push that thing in the Tennessee River today if I had
really?
It. Yeah, that was a mistake.
Really?
That was a mistake. That my wife reminds me of.
Man.
That was a mistake that we purchased that.
So if you've
just vehicle.
Joined us, we're not just talking about pushing vehicles into the water for random reason. No, in fact, we were highlighting an article where a young man in India was gifted a BMW. He didn't like it, felt like he deserved a Jaguar. It was a little bit bigger for he and his friends. And so he chose to push his brand new BMW that he'd been gifted from his parents for his birthday into some body of water. And it has caused a discussion related to entitlement and how did we get here?
Yeah.
You know, what do you think is not so much, we can see evidences of it everywhere today, but what is at the root of this?
Yeah, I mean,
and maybe we can even go as far as back to issues of the heart.
Sure. Well, I think it's certainly a pride issue. I think too, every generation says when they become parents, we want our kids to have
right.
what we didn't have.
That's a good point.
And so we yeah. create this mindset of you have the greatest generation, the World War II generation that fought a war to bring about freedom for a lot of folks. And everybody had to kind of go to work. Women were working in factories to get weapons and airplanes
right.
and stuff out on the battlefield. And so we saw all that. And then when they came back from war, they said, we want to make sure our kids have what we didn't have.
Right.
And so that started kind of the process. And then those kids look back and said, well, there's some things we didn't have. We want to make sure our kids have that.
Right.
And now our generation are looking at our kids and saying, we want our kids to have. And that's a very dangerous path to go down.
Right.
And I struggle with this with my kids.
I was going to say, I'm sure your kids have never felt entitled. I literally, knowing we were going to be talking about this today, I'm at the ball field yesterday putting some extra work in with our two
yeah.
oldest boys. And I made the statement like, you're entitled.
Yeah.
And one of the boys was like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah. We're constantly having those conversations, whether it be, I want this or I want that, or they get something and they quickly break it or
right.
they leave it out and
right.
they don't take care of it. And so it's the mindset of, well, it's okay. You'll just get me another one.
Right.
It's okay. You'll just buy it for me. And so I try to pose those questions when they say, well, can we do this or I want that? My first question is, are you going to pay for it?
Right.
You know, you can't just assume that mom and dad are going to take care of it. We're not, you know, I turn into my parents. We're not made of money. You think it just grows on these trees out here? And so we
you think we've got a money machine back there?
Yeah. And so we do all these things and have all these conversations. But even though we're saying those things, we need to look at the actions and the environment that we're creating. Are we still feeding that mindset of, well, I deserve this?
Right. And I think there's clearly a distinction between, kind of what we're describing here in being entitled to just simple consumerism. But I do think that it does at times play into, especially when you consider kind of this next generation. I mean, you see these silly videos about, you know, they put a dial-up phone in front of in front of a 14-year-old and say, call home, you know, and they're like, what's a home phone? Yeah, and then how on earth would this work? And so we kind of see these things. But I do often think, like, even the way that we use Amazon a lot, you know, and Amazon Prime. And I just think at times you can almost forget, like, oh, this costs money.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think our children forget about that. Like, hey, Dad, can you order me this? Can we grab this? Hey, I need this. And you're like, no, there's like real consequences and there's a monetary value associated with this. And it's thus, not only does it impact the way that they think about acquiring things, but as you referenced, it also impacts the way they consider holding on to things and keeping things. And I'm the worst about, like, hey, if we've not used it in 6 months and it's not like a family memento, like, give it away or trash it. I'm terrible at that. But I think there's a difference between, hey, we're not trying to be cluttered people, and simply, like, we're just going to be wasteful people. We're not wasteful people. You know, we're going to try to be generous with our stewardship and the things that God's entrusted us with. But there is a kind of a lost art of, I mean, think about our grandparents. They didn't get rid of anything.
Nothing.
Nothing did they get rid of.
Well, and even now we have, there's a hat. And this is a petty thing, but there was a New York Yankees hat that I got when I was 5 years old. A fitted New York Yankees hat.
That's awesome.
I still have it. Okay, so 30 years later, it still is with me. And the other day I came down, because I've let the kids wear it, and the dog had it in its mouth.
Oh, no.
And I got a terrible feeling in my gut. If I go in here, if I look at this hat and it is tore up, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yes.
Thankfully, the dog just was licking it, apparently, and didn't chew it up and tear it up.
30 years of head sweat.
But it's the looking at my children and going, it has lasted this long and y'all just toss it away. Or there's furniture that we have that Aaron's granddad has made that's lasted all these years.
Right.
And my kid gets it for 5 minutes.
Right.
And it's broke.
Yeah.
And it's the mindset of, are we, and I think that's on me. My kids aren't just going to innately have an appreciation for these things.
Right.
Are we talking to them about appreciating? And then on top of that, not just with my kids, but are there things in my life that I'm not grateful for, that I just take for granted, that I just feel like, hey, I'm entitled to this, and this is what I deserve. I deserve this right now, and everyone else should understand that.
Yeah, so my hunch is maybe you're listening today and you're like, man, those guys are just griping about their kids. No, we love our kids. In fact, we think they're pretty well-adjusted, fantastic children. But maybe you'd say, what about some solutions?
Right.
So when we come back, let's begin to talk about not so much just, hey, all the things that bother us or the things that bug us, but how we might be able to move beyond entitlement and move towards stewardship and generosity. We'll be back.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good. Are you hot-blooded?
I would love to give a huge shout out to Dave for a great song selection with that.
That's good. Yeah, I used to DJ at a country station, but between 11 and 1, we would play classic rock. Weird format, but it worked. And I would play, so when I was doing that shift, I would get to play songs like that.
Nice.
In the middle of, you know, Garth Brooks and stuff. It was great. It was great. Those were the days. They picked, I was 18.
Wow.
Trying to pick out classic rock. They were like, hey, that's not classic.
That was never classic.
That's just been around for a little bit. And so it was good times.
Man.
So what are some solutions?
Right.
So as we think about our heart and our entitlement mentality and Are we a grateful people? Are we good stewards of the things that we've been entrusted with? What are some things we can do in our lives to make sure that is who we are?
Yeah, I think one is I do this with our couples that I meet with for premarital counseling. I talk with college students. I talk with senior adults. I mean, one of the things that just seems to be, no matter what conversation I'm having with someone related to whatever issue they brought into my office, whether it's preparation for something or whether it's addressing something in their life, I mean, really, at the end of the day, a lot of issues seem to resolve themselves in a daily pursuit of Christ. And I don't want to make that trite. I don't want to make that seem prescriptive. But when we pursue Christ, it seems to be, as the old hymn would remind us, that many things will kind of fade away. Some of the luster of the world seems to fade away when we see and really marvel at the remarkable beauty of Christ. And so my hope would be that we individually, not only as ministry leaders in our context, but just each and every one of us as listeners, if you're a parent, that we're thinking about our heart first and foremost, and we're considering, what does our heart, what is it telling us, and that's one of the things that we have to be really careful. We talk a lot about this, this big common thought is chase your heart. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking off the air about how many people right now, they're either kind of they're walking away from things of the faith. We talked about that last week, and even this week, there's been someone connected with Hillsong who is doing the same thing and has kind of announced they've walked away from the faith. And it's often attributed back to the statement that is, well, I'm pursuing my heart. I'm following my heart. Do not follow your heart. Yeah. Your heart is wicked in most cases, unless it really is this John 15, I'm abiding in him, he's abiding in me, like he's transforming my heart. Don't just go with your gut. There's a difference between your gut and your flesh and the Holy Spirit. Right. And those are different things. And so, we have to be really, really careful when we examine our heart. Does it point towards pride? Does it point towards greed? Does it point towards, I deserve this and I'm owed this and I did this, so the world owes me that? In fact, we talked about it even last week with that whole deal with Joshua Harris about kind of almost a purity prosperity gospel. Right. Well, I did this, and so God owes me this. I was pure, so God owes me this perfect spouse, or God owes me to find my fiance in the next 6 months. In the same way, I think we have a tendency to say, well, I did this for this person, or I've been doing this, and so I am owed X.
Yeah.
And when we begin to fall into that trap is where we have entered into entitlement, not necessarily consumerism.
Right.
Consumerism, I think, can lead into that, and that's kind of the context we've been discussing here in light of the silly situation in India, But that's where we step into entitlement, where we believe we're owed something, where in truth, the really only thing that we are owed is death.
Yep.
In light of our sin, in light of our depravity, our fallenness, because God is perfect and we are not, the only thing that we are owed is death. And yet that is the beauty of the gospel. That is who Christ is, that he made an imperfect people capable and able, because of what he did on the cross and overcoming the cross, able to have relationship with a holy God.
Yep.
So that in itself begins to reframe our mind and our heart and hopefully push us away from some entitlement. What would you say?
Well, we can even look at James 4, verse 1 through 12 is pretty important, as we say. It says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Mm. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? And so that's where we are in today's culture, and it's not just the secular culture.
Right.
It's the Christian culture. There may be churches out there that say, look, we've been faithful. We deserve this building. Right. We've been faithful. We deserve to grow. We've right. been, you know, instead of going, God, we trust that you're leading us in this direction.
Yeah.
We trust that you're leading us. And so as long as our heart and mind is in line with what God would have, then that's where we need to be spending our time. Not, well, so-and-so down the road.
Right.
Look at their life. They don't deserve that.
Right.
And so in our mind, we're thinking we're pointing out a fault of theirs, but in reality, we are saying we're entitled to their stuff because of the way we're yeah. living. So, and that's not the gospel.
So initial solutions are let's look at the gospel. Let's examine our heart. Let's remind ourselves of those things that are true in light of the Word of God, mm-hmm. in light of passages like you've read. A second thing I think that helps, especially for us as parents, but really even true for me, it's one of the reasons that I love getting on the mission field
right.
on a fairly regular basis, not simply, and maybe that sounds selfish. I mean, my hope is that we're going to go and be able to serve somebody. We're going to be able to bless somebody. But it just to be reminded that the rest of the world doesn't look like middle to upper class yeah. Knoxville, you know, like the rest of the world. And that is not to imply that it is worse. Right. I am in no fashion right. saying that, you know, but to say it looks different. And so when we think, well, of course, I mean, you're going to have two vehicles. Well, good grief.
Yeah.
I mean, what a ridiculous
thought.
If not
more.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, of course you're going to be, wearing this. Of course you're going to have these opportunities. Of course you're going to get a new set of baseball uniforms every season. I mean, of course these are the things that we think of because it's so normal in our society. Mm-hmm. But when we even begin to get out of it, and I'm not saying that it means you got to pick up and go to,
right.
you know, to Africa or to Asia or anywhere else. I mean, it might simply mean like, hey, get in the car and drive 2 hours and go to see some of our friends in deep Appalachia. Mm-hmm. or maybe honestly, forget that and go 20 minutes across town and go and just see something a little bit different. And I don't mean to make them some novelty where we're right. driving around the neighborhood and staring at people. I'm talking about just being reminded that the world doesn't always look like we look.
Yeah.
And thus it begins to put some things into perspective to say we might have some things that are pretty significant in light of maybe the wealth of the world or for us to really understand like truly how wealthy we are, or to understand, man, what a gift it is for me to have two parents, or what a gift it is for me to have been raised in this home, or what a gift it is for me to be given this opportunity to be educated. I mean, when we see the absence of some of those things is where you begin to see gratitude in your own heart.
Well, and being grateful is going to make it's going to make you a better person. It's going to make other people better.
Right.
It's going to make your kids better.
No one at the end of the day,
better.
No one at the end of their life said I was too grateful.
Well, no one
yeah,
is
I was,
saying,
I was
no
too
one
much
saying,
full
man,
of gratitude.
You know what? I spent too much time thanking people. That's one thing I did.
Right.
Was just way too much time thanking people
right.
for whatever.
Right.
And so we have to be a people that would say, and the biggest thing for me right now that I'm struggling with is in our home. Of trying to do our best to make sure that we have an environment of gratefulness, that we
yeah.
have an environment not of entitlement, not that we deserve all of this. Now, sometimes I go the opposite direction
right.
and want to start, you know, I have said in recent weeks, I've looked at my children and said, I will sell all of this. And that's probably not the healthy way to talk to your kids. But you know, having those moments of, well would that fit? That wouldn't fix anything either.
Right.
And understanding that it's just creating a sense of, and it almost makes it as if I'm the one that gives and takes away versus
right.
God being the one
correct.
That has given us everything and can certainly take it away.
And man, that is a great point. Like that is a great, great point right there that as we parent, but also as we just somewhat minister to our own heart and mm-hmm. try to, if I could use that expression, as we kind of remind ourselves, man, like God is the giver of these things.
Yeah.
and even as much as we worked hard on something or that we feel again, maybe deserving of it and you can look back and say, yeah, I put in those extra hours or I took on that job and, and this was my payment for it. At the end of the day, the Lord still is the giver of that stuff. He's the giver of your life, your breath to breathe today. Yep. And so again, it goes back to a heart of gratitude.
And sometimes our egos get in the way, and we want our kids to see us as the God that gives and takes away versus getting them to see, look, no, it's not us.
That's right.
We'll be back. That's Chris Cross, Jump, right?
That is, yes. Okay, wait. That is not Chris Cross. This is a classic.
Man. That's good. That's good. You know, and it's interesting that, which I'll be honest, I've never really like sat down and studied the lyrics of that song.
Probably better off.
But it is interesting that that's a song that will always be one that everybody knows or at least is familiar with. And he just sat down and was like, I'm just going to tell everybody to jump. And we're just going to keep saying it. And it's going to work. If you put the right beat behind it.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you move a certain way.
Absolutely.
Everybody's going to be jumping.
There's some new country.
Over.
There's some new, like, there's some new song that I heard on the radio. And it's very similar to, what's this Lil Nas X song that's out there? Yeah. What's it called? I forget.
Yeah.
But it's very similar in its kind of vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
And it feels a little bit like rap, but it's also really kind of country. Uh-huh. And legitimately, I mean, the lyrics were ridiculously comical. How just so uncreative they were. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And yet, at the end, I was
I like this.
Things got a little groove right there. And kind of the same concept.
Yeah, it's,
that's why I'm wearing a country hat today.
That's why 50 years from now, your classic rock stations are still going to be playing the same stuff they play
I
today.
I think that's a good possibility.
They're not going to be playing new classic rock.
No,
it's not really there.
Man.
So next week we're going to talk about music and genres Jason has proved that he's never gone well for me. Anytime we talk about music, we lose listeners. Yeah, and so, but today what we hope is it's been helpful is we've looked at being grateful and hopefully this is something that we can take back even in our own homes and with school starting back and now what that means is the kids are going to be around friends again and seeing what other kids have and what you know and then you're going to get like this week at our kids' school it's Friday is. AR day, and so they can dress up as their favorite book character, and so it's one of those things of
your kids are creative. I was going to say Friday's ice cream day at our school.
Yeah, no, it is.
Y'all are like doing like creative.
Yeah,
things.
It is accelerated reader day.
Okay,
and so they can dress up as their favorite book character, and so even the desire to immediately go, well, they gotta be able to dress up.
Oh yeah.
Even though we have costumes at the house, they could pick. Well. I may or may not have purchased one on Amazon as soon as my daughter said, I want to dress up as so-and-so.
Amazon is the core of all
and,
of
and so the way I justified it was like, well, she can wear that for Halloween as well.
Yeah, sure.
But those are the – we're going to get to the place of where your kids may come home, you may come home from work, and you're saying, well, so-and-so just got a new boat or so-and-so just got – this or so-and-so just got this. I'm doing good.
Right.
I'm a good person. Right. Why am I not getting these things?
Yeah. And there's so much of this. Entitlement is so kind of woven with things as consumerism and pride and imagery and ego and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I even think that sometimes I've played into some of this with my kids because they get a lot of, I've given them a lot of things over the years. And really, it probably wasn't to their benefit. It was to mine.
Right.
Like, I wanted my kid to look cool on the ball field.
Yep.
Did they care about getting a new pair of cleats or having, that batting glove or anything? No. They were like, well, I mean, does it work? But yet, I'm the one that's like, yeah, my kid needs to look sharp out there because my kid needs to stand out, which is so stupid.
Yep.
But unfortunately, what it happens is it creates this thing that inevitably and eventually when they get to certain ages where they do care – They've unfortunately at times seen some things that may be modeled that aren't always ideal.
Yeah, and that's just it's a process.
That only has happened one time.
Only one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a process for all of us as we're just trying to figure it out because I think we are like we talked about earlier, we're all inclined to say we want them to have better than what we had.
Right.
And so that creates a sense of they are entitled to this because they're my child and they're entitled to this whatever. Yeah. And that could create problems. So hopefully today we've helped you kind of walk through maybe some boundaries that can be set. If at the very least, pray for us, because clearly we're struggling with it in the Woodhouse for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
And so pray for my kids as we're trying to walk through what it looks like to be grateful and not feel like you're entitled to it.
I'm nervous as we walk out of this studio. I'm going to see your 15-passenger van and think, well, I deserve one of those.
I understand. And you do, Jason.
We'll see you next week.